Well, last summer I watched as my daughter Maya participated in a childhood ritual that I imagine we all participated in when we were young, stepping on ants on our sidewalk. I remember doing that as a child. I'm not sure why we do it, probably just because we can. We lay our little child bodies down on the warm summer sidewalk and we destroy their little hills and we poke them with sticks until they're dead, or maybe we get the magnifying glass out and try to fry them with the rays of the sun. And I'm not sure really what this says about us, but we enjoy killing ants when we're young. No big deal, right, though? They're just ants. Well, we've used ants here before in sermons as examples of just how amazing our Creator God is. Do you remember these facts about ants? An ant can carry up to 50 times its body weight, so that would be the equivalent of me being able to carry 9,000 pounds. So, amazing, actually. Ants are the main turners of the soil, more important than earthworms. They move an estimated 100,000 pounds of soil per square mile that they are working in. And maybe you'll recall a video we watched about these colonies that they build underneath the ground. That video said that their underground passageways and chambers can sometimes be as large as 160 feet across and 26 feet deep. An ant is an incredible creature made by the hand of an incredible creator. And yet, we kill these little bugs casually and frequently. Well, I'm no longer a child. Now I'm now instead an adult who is seeking to serve that great designer. And sometimes I wonder, is it morally okay to kill an ant frivolously? In the Genesis 1 account of creation in our Bibles, right after God created man and woman, he said this to them: "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So humans were to subdue the earth and all of its creatures and rule over it. Well, subduing it makes sense to me, and I've learned through home ownership now what happens if you allow plant life to do whatever it wants to in your yard. Okay, it will eventually take over. Little things become large things, and those large things are not so easy to remove. We spent a lot of time since we moved into our house trying to subdue what had happened in our yard there. Now, I'm fine with bats and squirrels living outside. I'm not okay with them being in my house. So we try to subdue creation. I get that word, subdue. What about the word rule there? We're to rule over creation. You know, at first glance, you might think this means to dominate and to do whatever we want with. So maybe killing ants on a whim is okay for us to do. But when you think deeper, and I'm going to give credit to an author named John Anderson for this next thought. When you think deeper about this, I think we realize that what's happening here is God is granting to human beings some of his authority to care for the earth, because ultimately he is the ruler of all creation, and we've been given some authority in this area. So how then are we to exercise that authority? Well, I would think that it might be good to look at how God exercises his authority over creation, and let's look to Scripture on that. Psalm 104 describes it for us well. It says, "He makes springs pour water into the ravines. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth good from the earth. The trees of the Lord are well watered. There the birds make their nests. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures, and all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time." Here are some words from Jesus recorded for us in Matthew 6. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry." And Psalm 145 sums it up for us. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. God rules over the earth by showing care and compassion to all living things. It stands to reason then that he expects us to use the authority over the earth that he's given to us in a similar way. When I was in fourth or fifth grade, we used to go down to Como Park Lake in St. Paul and go fishing. Now, that lake was not the cleanest lake back then, still probably isn't, but it was mostly trash fish living in that lake, and we would catch carp from the shore. Now, carp are just ugly fish, but they are strong, and they put up a good fight, so it actually was kind of fun. So we'd catch them, and we'd throw them back. One day, three older kids came by while we were fishing, and they said they were going to show us something cool to do. Well, the cool thing that they showed us to do was to take the fish that we'd caught, put them on the ground, and use the cowboy boots that they were wearing to stomp down and smash in the fish heads. And then they'd throw the fish back into the lake. And they would laugh. Now, they were quite a bit older than we were, and they were a little scary, so we just went along with it. But I didn't feel good about what was going on there, and clearly, because I still remember that pretty well to this day. You know, I think that subduing the earth is different than killing for fun. I think that maintaining the human practice of hunting for food, even though we don't really need to do it anymore, I think that's okay. And I think that it is different, or at least it can be different, than killing for fun. I don't think that wounding an animal in order to watch it suffer is okay. Similarly, I don't think that living our lives without any thought at all about the impact our behaviors have upon the natural systems that God has created in this world is okay. I don't believe that those behaviors fit within the call we have placed upon our lives to exercise authority over the earth by showing care and compassion to all living things. Instead, I believe that we as followers of the Creator are to show respect for all life and to seek to care for it. Okay, now look again with me at the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 that we looked at just a moment ago, but I'm going to highlight a different part of the passage that time. This is Matthew 6, verse 26. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" If we are to show respect to all living creatures that God has created, both plant and animal, then we are to treat the lives of human beings with an even greater level of respect, because humans are even more valuable than they are, according to Jesus. We looked at Genesis 1, verse 28 before. Now let's look at the two verses that preceded it, Genesis 1, 26 to 27. "And God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, the wild animals, and all creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Men and women, human beings, were created in the image of God himself. We are the capstone of his creative process, his key achievement, made by him not because he needed relationship with us, but because he desired relationship with us. He desired to show, to share his great love with us. Of all his created works, we are of the highest value. So while we are to show respect and concern for trees and animals, we do place the needs of human beings above those things. And note that I said the needs of human beings, not every selfish whim of human beings. We do place the needs of humans on a higher plane. So if we are not to wound or kill animals for pleasure, then of course we would not do this to a fellow human being. Commandment number 6 out of 10. Thou shalt not murder. And here is Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. We're not to kill or to wound. In fact, it really is the opposite direction we're supposed to go in, correct? We are to love our fellow human beings as we love ourselves, Scripture tells us. We are to do good to all people. Galatians 6:10. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. And over all those virtues, we are to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. If we are to use the authority over the earth that God has given to us by showing care and compassion to plants and animals, then we most certainly are to do this for all human beings, men and women, people of all races, the young and the old, those with special needs, the poor and the marginalized, and, as the video that Niece showed us earlier said, the unborn. Mentioned earlier today, today is Sanctity of Human Life Day. Sanctity meaning of ultimate importance, something sacred, something you don't mess with. Certainly fits with what we're seeing in Scripture today, the respect for all life, especially human life. Well, you know that the primary focus of Sanctity of Life Sunday is, of course, abortion. So let's talk about that subject for a bit. You know that it takes just a moment for a woman to get pregnant. It might be a planned moment. It might be an unplanned moment. It might be a moment that happens because the woman and man involved just didn't care about the consequences. Or it might have happened to a woman and man who cared deeply about the consequences, but who lost their heads in that moment. It might be a moment that came on because of drunkenness, something that would not have happened if alcohol had not been involved. It might even be a moment that was forced upon a woman. Pregnancy can happen for a woman in just a moment, but it carries with it a lifetime of consequences. And that's what's so scary, I would imagine, for a woman who gets pregnant when she wasn't intending to. She thinks about these lifelong consequences of having that baby, and she can't bear it. She just wants it to stop, and so abortion looks like the answer to make that stop. Or someone close to her tells her that abortion is the best path for her in order to stop the consequences. But we know from research that an abortion does not stop the consequences. Not only are there plenty of testimonies out there from women who had abortions in the past who will tell you what an awful experience it was, but research has some sobering statistics for us to consider as well. These studies I found on the Focus on the Family website. One scientific study claims that 17% of the women in that study who had had an abortion experienced physical complications afterwards, for example, abnormal bleeding or pelvic infection. There are some statistics out there that show a link between abortion and complications with future pregnancies. An analysis of nearly 15 years of published research, and this is from the British Journal of Psychology in 2011, found that women who had undergone an abortion experienced an 81% increased risk of mental health problems. I want to read that one to you again. Women who had undergone an abortion experienced an 81% increased risk of mental health problems. Another study showed that women who ended their first pregnancy by abortion are 5 times more likely to report subsequent substance abuse than women who carried the pregnancy to term. And a Finnish study of suicide after pregnancy found that the suicide rate after an abortion was 3 times the general suicide rate. Now, certainly, if a woman facing an unplanned pregnancy chooses to have that baby and either keep it or give it up for adoption, both of those choices also carry with them a lifetime of consequences. But my point here is that abortion is not the escape route from consequence. Abortion does not make it all go away. Of course, we need to say here also, given the focus of the sermon today, that aborting an unborn baby does not fit the call for the respect for all life that we've been talking about here this morning. It might be tempting for some to think of a fetus as not being an actual life. But not long after a home pregnancy test can even possibly show a positive result, that fetus already has arms and legs. There's a measurable heartbeat 21 to 24 days after conception. Fingers and toes are there before the fetus is 12 weeks old. By week 16, the heart and blood vessels are fully formed and its eyes can blink. By week 20, the unborn baby can suck its thumb yawn, stretch, and make faces. Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, it says that John the Baptist was full of the Holy Spirit while he was yet in his mother's womb. Do we really need to debate whether or not a fetus is a living being? And if I'm correct in my thinking that it might even be appropriate for us as God's children to even think twice before killing an ant frivolously, then my goodness, how seriously should we be taking the idea of ingesting an RU486 pill, which causes a developing fetus to disconnect from the uterus, thus starving it to death? Now listen, having compassion for all human beings does not mean that we only care about the fetus in the scenario of an unplanned pregnancy. Of course, we are to show great compassion to the woman involved there as well. And when you get into the political debate about whether or not abortion should be legal, there are a lot of things to think about. You know, what about a woman who is pregnant because she was raped? What about a woman whose life might be at risk if she carries the pregnancy full term? If abortions are declared illegal, will that force desperate women who see no other way into brutal and unsafe procedures done in back alleyways? It's happened before. These are all questions that need to be weighed and considered. But we should note that the vast majority of abortions that take place in our country today have nothing to do with rape or health risks. In 2004, the Alan Guttmacher Institute did a study of over 1,200 women who had had an abortion and who were asked the reason why they had made that choice, and here were the results. Rape or incest accounted for 0.5% of the reasons for those abortions. The health of the mom or the fetus accounted for 7%. And then, 79% of the women studied there listed one of the following as the reason they chose an abortion. Number one, unready to have a baby. Number two, problems in their relationship with the father. Number three, didn't want to be a single parent. Number four, can't afford the baby. Number five, didn't want more children. And number six, having the baby would interfere with career or education plans. And there are many other studies out there that show similar results to that study. So it should be recognized that the scenarios that often come into play within the political debate on abortion, rape, incest, health of the mother, etc., are actually quite rare when you look at lists of reasons given for the close to 1 million abortions that happen in our country each year. Now, if you look at that list again, of reasons given for an abortion that didn't include rape or health, you know, there are some very legitimate concerns on that list. I'm not ready to be a mom. I don't want to be a single parent. I can't afford to take care of the baby. Those are legitimate concerns. But do they justify taking a life? Adoption is a great option for women facing scenarios like these. So again, it only takes a moment to get pregnant, and it can happen even to very well-meaning people. Great compassion needs to be shown to people facing those scenarios, no question. But I have to say that given the strong respect for life ethic that we have seen in our study today, I think we have to conclude that at the very least, in almost all cases, abortion should not be on the option list for Christians. The ethic for the Christ follower should be to have a great respect for all life, plant and animal, and especially human life of all sexes and races and classes, whether that human life is outside or inside of the womb. Respect life. It's of ultimate importance, something sacred, something you don't mess with. Well, let's apply this respect life principle now, and I will focus in here on the unwanted pregnancy topic. What can we do about these things? Well, the first thing we can do about this, of course, is to not get pregnant when you're not wanting to have a baby. That's something we can do. We've seen today that pregnancy carries with it lifelong consequences, even if you abort the baby. How important is it for us then to follow God's commands to not have sex outside of marriage? No birth control is 100%. Don't have sex outside of marriage. Don't get pregnant when you're not ready to have a baby. That's a great first step for us here in what we can do in regards to unplanned pregnancy. And then if you do get pregnant when you weren't planning to, please seek godly counsel at a place like Hope Pregnancy Center in Wilmer or here at Calvary. Abortion should not be on your option list. And if you really feel that you are not in a situation to give that baby the kind of care that it is going to need, and that is a thing to be taken very seriously, then please allow that baby to go to a family who is in the situation of being able to care for it and who wants to adopt. Adoption can be a wonderful thing. Church, another thing I want to say here, and this is another thing we can do along the lines of what we're talking about today, is that we need to show great compassion to those facing unplanned pregnancies. Words of truth are okay, but please remember to always speak the truth in love. These people will need love and help rather than condemnation. Similarly, it should be said that there are two additional categories of women that we need to show compassion to. Number one, those who have given up their babies for adoption in the past. There are still wounds there, even if they don't equal the wounds that come from an abortion. So let's surround those people with love. And number two, we need to show love and compassion to those who have had abortions in the past. What a painful thing that they have gone through. Let's show to these women the love and mercy that our Father God has shown to us, and let them know they're welcome here. You know, an additional thing that we can do in regards to unplanned pregnancies is to be aware of children in our community who perhaps were carried full term but born into difficult circumstances. We can reach out to those young ones and invest in them, at least to some extent. And then finally, there is the option that we've been hearing about this morning from the Schmitz. Depending on our age and life circumstances, of course, we could choose to adopt a child or two, or we could help children who are in the state foster care system, or do both. And what tremendous ways these are for us to exercise the authority God has given us in the world to care for life by adopting a child or by loving on foster kids. Awesome stuff. Now, clearly, not everyone is in the situation where they can take in foster children or adopt, but there is something that everybody can do in that arena, and that is to help and assist families who do adopt or who do choose to take on foster care children. Janet Kelly, the founder of an organization called America's Kids Belong, said in a recent interview that a wonderful thing to do for families like those is to go and ask them things like, do you need me to babysit your birth kids so that you can take your foster child to counseling? Or, I heard your car needs an oil change. Could I take it in for you? Or, can we provide some meals for your family? Things like that. So we can all participate in foster care or adoption in those ways. Clearly, there are many things that you and I can do regarding this big topic of unplanned pregnancies and their aftermath. Well, let me bring this to conclusion now. Christ followers, God has given us a say-so in how things are cared for in this world. Humans have the freedom to be careless and cruel, or to be full of care and compassion, and it's clear which path God calls us to. And this applies to all living beings, be they plant or animal, be they human beings who are very much like us, or human beings who are very much unlike us. Be they human beings who are outside of the womb or human beings who are still inside of it, we are to respect life. Now, this spring, if you accidentally step on an ant, I don't believe that you need to be racked with guilt. But I do think that we need to be aware of how amazing each creature that God has created is, and that we ought not to destroy or kill without good reason. We ought to seek in ways to live in ways that would be good for the natural environment that God gave to us in this world. And of course, we ought to seek to do good to all people, especially those who may not be able to advocate for themselves, those stuck in poverty, those being preyed upon by people stronger than they, the orphaned, the abandoned, and of course, those human beings who are still being knit together in their mother's womb. Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves and for the rights of all who are destitute. Calvary, let's be loving people. Amen. Let's be salt and light in this world. Let's be people who hold all life sacred. Amen. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, mighty creator, your scriptures tell us that long ago you bestowed to the human race some of the authority you hold over the earth. And I'm afraid that we as a race have really failed miserably in our responsibilities. There is so much cruelty and injustice and lack of concern that goes on. We confess these sins before you today. And we ask that you would enable us, this group of people who are seeking to follow you here, the awareness and the ability to do things differently, to respect all life, especially human life, all human life. Lord, we want to pray for those who are facing unplanned pregnancies today, and for those who have given up children to adoption in the past. Pray that you would be with these and guide and comfort. We want to pray today for those who have gone through abortions in the past, Lord, that you would speak to them life and love and move them in a new direction. Pray for those who have been abandoned in one form or another, and ask that you will be their good father. Lead us in how you want us to be involved in these matters, Lord God, both individually and as a church. Make your will known. And let there be even more stories coming out of Calvary, like the story that the Schmidts shared with us earlier today, stories of caring for life, of taking risk in order to rescue and redeem. This is your kind of work, Lord God. May we be part of it. And in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.